The Predators are back on the ice for the 2023-2024 NHL season. Two more preseason games to go, and we are less than a week away from the opening game on Tuesday, early evening at 4:30 in Tampa against the Lightning, when the Predators will play the first game of the entire NHL season 6 days from now. And then a week from tomorrow, next Thursday, the home opener, October 12th, against the Kraken at Bridgestone Arena. Let's talk some hockey. Next 2 hours, the Predators season preview show here on the Regions Bank Nashville Predators Radio Network. My name's Max Herz. I'm the pregame and postgame radio host, joined by the voice of the Predators, Pete Weber, and Preds radio analyst, Hal Gill. Gentlemen, you both look ready to go. How are you feeling, Pete?
I feel absolutely great, and I can't wait to get the game going tomorrow night. I want to see what that's going to turn out to be. The camp is down to more manageable numbers now, and I think Coach Andrew Brunette has to be happy for that. I mean, Hal, you coaching youth teams, and you don't like to have 30 kids out on the ice, right?
No. I mean, yeah. Sorry, turn that on, huh? Turn the button on. It's not my first time, but I had to figure out how to turn on the button. Okay, the button's on. Yeah, no. I think this is a time in every training camp. There's all this excitement. This guy looks great. This guy looks great. Okay, let's dial it in and figure it out. What does our team look like? And now does this guy look great with our team? And that's what I think.
Yes.
Brunette's got to be excited about is having these guys fill a role, not just, hey, that guy looks really good. That's not good enough. In the NHL, you have to fill a role. You need penalty killers, power play guys. What spot are they going to be on the power play? All those things that Brunette's figuring out and then putting your final roster together for opening night.
One thing I think we've seen so far, Max, in camp, is that Tommy Novak, what he did the last part of last season, was not a fluke.
Yeah, and the Predators are looking for big second full seasons as a pro from players like Tommy Novak, Cody Glass, Luke Evangelista, Phil Tomasino, the young core of this team, meshing with a new group of veterans under, like you said, Hal, a first-year head coach, Andrew Brunette, a first-year GM and Barry Trotz taking over for the retired David Poile. A whole lot of new coming together, and we're excited to see how it mixes from day one.
Yeah, and I remember there's 1 year I went signed in Montreal. We had a bunch of new guys that signed. It was Gomez and Camilleri and like all the Travis Moen. All these guys moved in, and I remember Bob Gainey was the GM at the time, and someone asked him, how's this team going to look? And he said, I have no idea. You know, you don't know until the rubber hits the road, and we won't know until – you know, we're going to be looking, you know, first game, obviously, we're going to make judgments, but, you know, you're going to look at 10 games in, 20 games in. Can Tommy Novak, who looks fantastic, I agree with you, he looks strong and faster, a little more confidence. Can he sustain a full 82-game season? Can he keep that pace that he had last year for, you know, a big part of the season, but a later part of the season? Now guys are going to know his number. Defense is going to play him differently. They're going to know what his strengths are. That it's a different game when you have to play an 82-game season. So that's going to be the challenge for the young guys. The older guys, new guys coming in, I'm excited about that as well. O'Reilly coming in, Gurianov, Nyquist, Shen, some signings that really stood out to me that could be game changers and core guys that are going to jump in, but it's new to them as well. How is Philip Forsberg going to adapt to all this change around him with all these young guys, new guys coming in? Can he have a great year that he had a couple of years ago?
I think he's adjusting pretty well to his new centerman.
Yeah, I would love to play. I think anyone would love to play with O'Reilly. That kid, he plays the game right. You know, he plays both ends of the ice and just strong on pucks, makes plays. So I think that seems to be a pairing that they've been working on, Forsberg and O'Reilly. Let's see if they can produce so.
Yeah, we've seen those two as the top center, Ryan O'Reilly, top left wing, Philip Forsberg. More often than not, they've been matched with Juuso Parsonen as their right wing, another one of those players headed into his second full pro season. And it's all about trying to find who's going to be best together on that top line. And as of now, it looks like that's with Parsonen on the wing, potentially.
Parsonen, I thought he really stood out playing against top lines. And it's one thing, hey, this guy's a great player. He can score goals. if you're going to play a top line, you're going to have to defend as well. You're going to be matched up against top line. So you're going to be matched up against McDavid's and Crosby's and, you know, these guys around the league, and you're going to have to play some defense. And I thought Parson did a great job not only doing that but getting under skin, and he got people upset at times, which is what you're looking for playing against top lines.
And I think the guy that maybe – and you've mentioned his name – but I don't know if people have paid as much attention to Denis Gurianov from what we've seen of him so far.
Well, it's kind of a funny thing. He kind of slid under the radar, I think. It's just kind of, you know, oh, hey, he's there. You know, I feel like he's always been a thorn in the side everywhere he plays. He finds ways to score goals, gritty goals. You know, I just like the way he plays. And if he can complement that and find someone, again, find the chemistry with the line and find a spot to fit in, that's, I think, the challenge with all of this is there's a bunch of guys that really want to be top six, and they're top six players. Can you turn that what would be a top six into a top nine? Do you have a checking line? You know, guys like Colton Sissons and Yakov Trenin, can they adapt and play top six minutes? Can they or do they go fall back to their checking roles? Lots of questions coming up in this season,
and all of that falls within the lines of the new system being put in by first-year head coach and former Predator, the man who scored the first ever goal for the Preds, Andrew Brunette, who will join us in about 10 minutes. How do you see how all the things you've talked about, all the players you've talked about, fitting into a new system that is going to be offense and puck possession oriented?
Yeah, well, that's the fun part. I like the way they were trying to – I saw a couple practices trying to move through the neutral zone fast, move with speed, and they did that last preseason game in Tampa. They started to click. They started to move the puck fast, and that's what Tampa does really well. You know, Tampa has had success. They're amazingly fast through the neutral zone, and so that match, that back and forth, a speed game, a possession game, you know, it only works – if you can execute, and that is a fine line between trying to play fast and being helter-skelter. And so I think, you know, the big thing for me is you can execute on that and you can defend well, you're going to create chances. You know, defensive zone, I've seen them, you know, make aggressive mistakes, and I think that's what you want as a coach. Like, go ahead, go for it, make mistakes, but try to make plays. Don't stay back and be tentative, because you can't really coach staying back. You gotta go ahead, and that goes for every level of hockey, youth hockey. I say that all the time. Be aggressive, and we'll fix it. But keep being aggressive, because you don't want to be back on your heels, especially in the NHL nowadays. These guys are flying, and so you want to play a fast game. You got to be aggressive, and I think there's going to be a learning curve with that. I wouldn't be surprised if there's some miscues on defense because they're playing aggressive. But, you know, I think Brunette has the right mindset. He wants to play that way, and he's got to be forgiving of mistakes.
Would you want to be 15 years younger and be able to go back in and play now?
No, because I wouldn't be able to play in the NHL.
You really believe that?
Well, you know what? I always prided myself on finding a way, but the way the game is right now, it's fast, and you have to move the puck fast. And I think if I was growing up playing a faster game, maybe I would have adapted to it. But, you know, I think – and this is a challenge for these guys. Can they adapt their game? You know, you look at Luke Evangelista, is he going to be able to battle in the corners and compete defensively so that the coach can trust him? That's what I hear coaches talk about all the time. Can I trust this guy? Can I put him over the boards and know that he's going to be able to defend when he has to? No one wants to put over a liability. You need to defend at some point, and then your skill rises up to the top. So would I love to come back? I'd love to give it a go. Put me out there, Coach Bruno. I'll see if Bruno has a contract for me, but I doubt it. Trotsky, I know, doesn't have one for me.
Well, probably not now, just before they have to do some cuts.
That's right. Yeah, and that's the other thing that we're looking for now is what does this roster look like when it's all said and done?
Well, we know it's going to shape around the one forward, the one defenseman, and the goalie that the Predators have chosen to build around while making some big changes this season. Philip Forsberg back from injury. Roman Josi had some injuries late in last season as well. And UC Saros was the man who was the most responsible for almost getting the Preds to the playoffs last year.
Yeah, and we keep looking back on it and saying, what if Forsberg was healthy and Josi was healthy? you know, you get a couple more points there and you're squeaking the playoffs and anything can happen. But I think that, you know, Barry Trotz was very clear about, hey, we're building for the future, not right now. And so maybe a good thing, like if you look at all the trades and everything that happened last year, I mean, we're talking about now, but let's look back in the past and say, hey, all this happened and all this cap space opened up and we can sign new guys and make trades and, you know, move Duchesne and Johansson, create more, you know, more roles for these guys to step into and say, okay, can we build off you? Are you part of the building or are you going to be moved on and we're going to change our way? And so now these guys all get their chance. With what happened last year and what's happening now, it should be an exciting year.
We had the chance to talk after the game Saturday with one of the guys who was sent packing for five picks, Tanner Janot.
Yeah, that was kind of sad, wasn't it?
Yes, it was. Just,
like, what a great guy, and you hate to see a guy like him go, but look at the return you got back for him, for Ekholm. Look at the return you got. Like, these guys, and even guys like Granlund, you know, you move him and you create cap space, and you know, like, I think those all these little moves that Barry Trotz has made has allowed for a big, and you hate to see guys like Ekholm and, you know,
yes,
fan favorites, guys that, you know, I love watching play and I have a ton of respect for. Hey, if you don't win, change happens.
The cupboard is certainly restocked for the Predators, and we're looking forward to the season starting in less than a week here on the Predators Season Preview Show. New head coach Andrew Brunette will join us coming up next to talk about camp, this new roster, what he's looking forward to about his first full-time NHL head coaching job, and more. This is the Predators Season Preview Show on the Regions Bank Nashville Predators Radio Network. Welcome back to the Predators Season Preview Show here on 102.5 and 106.3 The Game. My name is Max Herz, along with the voice of the Preds, Pete Weber, and Stanley Cup champion Hal Gill, your Preds radio team, getting you ready for the season, which starts on Tuesday, late afternoon, early evening against the Lightning. We are very pleased to be joined now by new Predators head coach Andrew Brunette, who has done many interviews over the last couple of weeks, and we are grateful to have him for yet another one here. Andrew, thanks for doing this. Great to have you on the Season Preview Show for the first time.
Yeah, hey guys, how you doing? Good to be on.
We are now 2 weeks into camp, two more preseason games the next two nights. What has this experience been like for you, and what is your evaluation at this point as we get pretty close to the end here?
Well, the experience has been fun. It's gone by fast. I think, like every other year, especially on the coaching side of it, that you kind of run out of time to hit everything you want to hit. Exhibition games get in the way of some of the things you want to do, and then you're playing them and you're evaluating. So, yeah, so we'd like to have a little bit more time. I think we're a little bit of work in progress, but it's been great. It's been really good to get to know these guys, get a little more familiar, get a set of eyes on some of our young guys that I'm not too familiar with, the Evangelistas and the Tomasinos and the Novaks, and, you know, got to see the Molendijk come into camp. I thought he had a heck of a camp. So that part's been fun because I wasn't really sure what I was getting. And, you know, see a Kemmel and Svechkov just to kind of understand where we're at and what we have coming. So I thought that was really fun. And then getting to know the veterans, I think they've really pushed the pace here in camp. And they brought the energy to every skate we've had, from the Yossis to the McDonoughs to the O'Reillys, the Shens and Nyquist and Sissons and Trennan. So they've driven this a little bit pace-wise throughout our whole camp, and it's forced our young guys to skate. So all that stuff's been good, and like I said, just it goes by so fast. I guess that'd be the one lasting impression I have of that. You run out of time to hit everything you want to hit.
Hey, Bruno, it's Hal. I have 1,000 questions that I could ask you, but I guess the biggest thing for me is, how has it been? You know, Barry Trotz came in here halfway through the season last year, so he is familiar with a lot of the new guys. Now you're getting up to speed, like you said. How has it been working with Trotzy, and how has that gone so far just in the beginning of camp here?
No, it's been great. You know, we've had constant communication all summer long, and obviously we see things very similarly in a lot of different ways, in the compete and the battle and the work ethic and a little bit of what we need and what we're looking for. So that makes it easier when you're in communication and you could have good, honest discussions, and we both see where we're at, and being on the same page is so important in any walk of life, but especially in our business. So he's been really good to work with, kind of what I expected. You know, as for the young kids, you get excited. I think the future's bright here. The game in Clarksville, I think if anybody went to, and Skillsy, I don't know if you were there or not, but that was arguably the best inter-squad game I've ever seen. Now, partly because none of the veterans played, you know, how we pull it down. It was all hungry young kids, and they put on quite a show. And as for a new coach coming in and trying to get to know these guys, I was really impressed with what I saw.
Did anything change for you, Andrew, just in your perspective of what the way Denis Gurianov performed that night in the scrimmage?
It was nice to see him get a couple goals. You know, I think it's hard, as we all know. You're coming in a one-year contract, and you're trying to prove yourself again after he scored 20 in Dallas and kind of got lost there a little bit and bounced around. And I think you come in, and training camp's so hard. Inter-squad games are so hard. You're spinning. You're trying to learn a new system. You're trying to find some chemistry with players. You're playing against guys on your own team, and all that makes it tough. And to see him score a couple goals and get his legs underneath him, I think it really helped him. I thought he's a really good week of practice. I thought he looked really good today. And, you know, I'm looking forward to seeing him here Thursday and Friday to get him back in action.
What was it like for you to have these last few days where you could, as they say, just practice?
Yeah, as much as you loved having seeing your young guys in your whole organization, I think it was vital that I did see that. I think the excitement level, just grabbing guys one-on-one and actually having conversations and building relationships with them was you know, a good first step. But I think when you get 60 guys in camp, your head's spinning. You're trying to satisfy all the needs, and you're trying to get at least some kind of communication with all the young guys to let them know that we're thinking of them, and you might lose sight a little bit of your veteran guys because you know you're gonna get your hands on them sooner and later. So it was good to get out and doing some one-on-one stuff and working with these guys at the power play out today. And again, building that relationship and partnership that we're going to need through all of this has been good. And this gives you the opportunity now that you're dwindled down to a little bit of a smaller group.
Bruno, I'm sure you're looking for chemistry from, you know, forward lines, D pairs. Is there anything that has stood out to you that, okay, this works and we got to ride this out? And is there anything we could expect that we'll see opening night that are coming up? And, you know, I think you look at O'Reilly playing with Forsberg, that seems to be a mainstay. Is that what other combos do you think we'll see out there?
Well, I think we find, I've kind of found a little bit, and this is early again, and you always wish you had a little bit more time.
You're not bound to it. You're not bound to it.
No, for sure. No, especially the way I move things around, it doesn't usually last a whole lot of time. But I think if you looked in Paris, I think if you saw Riley and Forsberg, I see some there. Now we got to find that third piece. With Glass and Nyquist, I found they play pretty well off each other. Again, we're looking for that third piece, and I thought the Tomasino, Novak, Evangelista line showed a lot of chemistry basically every time they're on the ice. So I think if you a little bit in that sense, those three kind of combos have stood out. Now we got two more games, which is a third of the games, and we'll see some different combos, and hopefully we find a few things. I think we're still searching for that chemistry with all these different lines and the power play and the penalty killing. So we have some work to do, and that's why you play all these games.
Excuse me, I guess I turned my button on too. We talk about all these games. You, when you started in pro hockey, you didn't have all these games. I mean, at this point, you would probably have been, what, about 6 to 7 games into a 10-game preseason schedule?
Well, we got $250 bucks a game. I don't know if you remember that, Bruno.
Well,
that was
300, yeah, 300.
300, oh, big cash.
You were underpaid, Hal.
Oh, I got 250.
I'm going to call Harry Sinden.
Play the game.
Yeah.
And we were so happy to play the game. We were fired up. We used to get cash, I think, at the time, too. And we were just like, I'll play every game here. I don't have a trick in Tallahassee. Just throw me in for that $300 bucks.
Send me to Pensacola, please.
That's right. I'm in. For $300, I'm in.
Bruno, have you found that these guys you talked about – the older guys pushing the pace. I know you want to play a fast game. Do you feel like not only fast through the neutral zone, but defensive zone, do you feel like these guys are starting to get it and get what you're putting out there?
I think they are. I think the through the neutral zone, et cetera, I think the offensive zone, we are getting it. The defensive zone and kind of a little bit of the transition, both sides of the puck, we've been a little slow to identify, and that's normal. I think anytime you start something new, it's going to take some time. And I know when we ran this in Florida, it took us a while to get used to that kind of that idea that we just want to attack the puck and we want pressure on the puck and we need all five connected or it doesn't really work. So I think we're caught in between a little bit. I thought it was encouraging the last few days in practice. It feels like they got it. I thought the Tampa game was a little bit better, but there's a lot of work to do. I mean, it's hard because asking a team to play this way, you really have to trust each other. If not, you feel a little bit exposed, and that's not a great feeling, as we all know when we're out there, especially on the back end. If we're asking you to be up the ice a little bit and you don't feel you have people behind you, it's tough to keep going up. But I think for it to work, we have to be going up. We have to be connected. You know, all five guys, there's got to be that little bit of that synergy that we know and trust we're going to be in these areas. So we're not there, and nor did I expect us to be there. Each day we get on the ice, I thought today, you know, and yesterday are what I saw in the D zone I really liked. But again, it's a work in progress, and the trust level and anything in life, especially in hockey, takes a little time.
Yeah, and so we talked about all these new guys. You got another new guy in Fagimo. What can you say about Samuel? You got to see him a couple times. What do you think of his game?
Well, I think he skates. You can see the skill set. He can really shoot the puck. You know, it's so tough, again, coming into a team, trying to figure out.
just exactly another new guy for you to get.
System-wise, yes, exactly. You know, system-wise, you get the assistants talking to him. And, you know, you can see a little bit of delay in a few different things. But then you can see the skill. And he can really shoot the puck. I watched him, you know, through the drills and then a little bit on the power play and a little bit after practice. So looking forward to getting him into something that we can find a space that we can really showcase his skill. And again, to identify if this is what we need. And I get your eyes on him. Where does he fit? How does he fit? All those things. So, yeah, exactly. It's another guy I got to figure out.
Yeah, with two games to go and only 20 roster spots per game, that's got to be tough to figure out.
Yeah, it's been a real competitive camp. And all the guys that ended the year last year in a really good note, I thought they've been really good in camp, and they're putting their best foot forward. Obviously, with our free agent signings coming in, they've all, you know, kind of been up to expectations. So there's going to be some disappointed players. Organization, I think it's a good thing to have this kind of competition in all those different areas. Obviously, somebody be on the short end of the stick, but I think, you know, regardless of whatever happens, we're going to need a lot of different players this year. So I think if you look at it organizationally, it's a good problem to have.
Lastly, I guess we talked about hockey, but you just moved here. You're integrating into Smashville. How has it been so far? I mean, I know Barry Trotz said, hey, we're going to change this camp up. We're going to go to Ford Ice Center. So you're moving to a different rink, and now you're back at Centennial. You've been through this whole thing, and you're back in Smashville, and you're seeing it, the new Smashville. How has it been for you personally?
You know, I think it's just like when you every time I've unfortunately played on too many teams, but
you're wanted in a lot of places.
Yeah, I like that. Guilty. That's the way I gotta say it. That's the way it's going to come across. I like that. I got to keep that. I was thinking, so there's always an adjustment. You know, you don't know which way to go to the rink all the time. And when I was here 25 years ago, I mean, it was so easy. Now I can't believe the traffic and just getting the cadence of life outside the game has been a little bit of a challenge like it is every year. But I mean, it's a very vibrant city. And I really enjoyed two things. I really enjoyed the Ford Ice Center. I thought, really felt very intimate. I really liked the fan interaction. I thought it was first class done. Everybody that shipped in there, I thought they did a great job for the players where they were comfortable in the weight room and the lounges and the coaches' room. So I thought that was great. I thought the exhibition game against Tampa, I wasn't expecting to have the crowd that we had. I thought that was a true testament of you know, the fans we have here in Nashville and where hockey's kind of grown to, that loud and that many. I was not expecting that. I was hoping to put on a little better show, but To see them come out was great. So there's been a lot of really good things. Still familiarizing myself with the city and the living, but it's been a lot of fun. And like I said, what's been enjoyable the most is to see the energy of our older players really, again, driving practice. And every time as a coach, I think if you have that, you feel pretty good.
So bottom line, it didn't feel strange having training camp take place on the Terry Crisp rink.
Things have changed.
Yeah, no, it did not. I was waiting for him to yell at us, but I didn't hear that.
He didn't have his coffee yet.
Yeah. Nah, maybe not.
Andrew Brunette, the Preds' new head coach, thanks so much for joining us. We will see you tomorrow night at Bridgestone for the last home preseason game, then again next week for the regular season.
All right, thanks, guys. Anytime.
Thanks, Bruno. Right.
That's the new head Pred, Andrew Brunette, the man who scored the first ever goal for the Preds, 16-year NHL veteran, interim head coach of the Panthers when they won the President's Trophy 2 years ago, now the fourth ever head coach of the Nashville Predators starting this season. We'll talk more about the new head coach, the new general manager, as the Predators begin a new era in their 25th season this year, starting next week. This is the Predators season preview show here on 102.5 and 106.3 The Game. Welcome back to the Predators season preview show. And
now that's
Weber
music.
Is happy with some Brass Bonanza.
Yes. I'll never forget the first time I heard that. It was like 75 or 76. The Whalers had just moved to Hartford from Boston and Springfield. And that caught my fancy right now. And I was in doing a feature on Steve Hansen, Steve Carlson, after that excellent cinematic debut that he had in the movie Slapshot. And he was trying to tell me the movie was just a comedy. Comedy, my butt. It was a documentary. All about minor league hockey in those times.
Just like Animal House, a documentary.
Yes.
Sadly, I told my daughter that Slapshot was like as close to real life, and then I started to watch it. And then I had to double clutch and say, no, I'm sorry, honey. That's nothing like it. I forgot some of the scenes in that. I said, no, this is nothing like professional hockey.
So did you try to hit the pause button while she was watching?
Fast forward, pause. Look at that.
Like my buddy sent me the email again last week that they edited Blazing Saddles for television.
Yeah.
It now will run tonight from 8 till 8:07.
That's a Pete Weber right. Classic right there. Pete Weber's here, the voice of the Preds, Hal Gill, Stanley Cup champion. What was your phrasing that Andrew Brunette really liked? A lot of people wanted you.
A lot of teams wanted me.
Yeah.
And Andrew Brunette.
Yeah.
They both wanted you guys for a lot of different things.
He played six teams?
Yeah.
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 I was six teams. I'd say
I think he's six if you count the Wild twice.
Oh, okay.
So you got him there.
Yeah. No, but you know, what a great career he had.
Oh.
And you know what I love about...
No, you're right. You're right. It's six.
His career...
you're tied.
What was impressive is he wasn't the blue chip. He wasn't coming out. He wasn't handed everything. He had to work his way up for it. And then not only did he work his way for it, but he became a skill player. Like he was a good player. He wasn't just filling a role, and he was a big part. You know, like when I was coming to play against him, I was aware of where he was, you know. He was
good
one
thing.
Of those players, you know. And so, great career, and good to see him succeeding. Hopefully he has a lot more success in store with Nashville.
Yep, as a coach. I mean, that would be very, very nice for the fans here, to be certain.
But yeah. it goes – when you're a player and you're playing for a guy, and you – I'm sure these guys look back and – try to figure out what he was as a player and how he played. Like, you have to respect that. A guy that worked his way up and played all the role player roles and found a way to grind it out in the NHL and then became a power play guy and that's something that guys have to respect. And so when he says something, guys are going to listen.
Well, in a way, he's got a piece of every single player in the current game in his career.
Yeah. Yeah, no, I think, and, you know, he wasn't the fastest skater, he'll admit it, but he played fast. He played a fast game because he was smart and he knew where to be, and a lot of that, hey, you know, you don't have to be fast if you're already there. You know, that's what I always say. If you're smart enough and you can read the play and you go to where the puck is going to go and you're there, you don't need to be fast. So he smart player and a smart guy, smart coach. I think that's going to be fun, especially for the older guys. It sounds like he's got a good rapport with these guys and it respects their work ethic. They're working hard for him. That means a lot, especially to a young group of guys that comes out and says, all right, how do we play the game? Well, the coach is telling me to do this. The old guys are telling me to do this. So maybe I should do it the right way.
All those seasons, 268 NHL goals. But the most important to me was the one that was the last ever allowed by one Patrick Waugh, knocking the Avs out of the playoffs.
A career ender for Andrew Brunette.
That's right.
The dagger.
Hey, Hal only scored on the best goalies, too.
Yep, that's right. That's right.
It's the way to do it.
Yeah, you know, I scored on Patrick Waugh. Fake dumping, Pete. Fake dumping. Got him.
He was not. Oh, you got him on the fake dumping.
Yeah,
okay.
He was not happy about it. Yeah, that was a little embarrassing.
I scored. I was embarrassed against Patrick Waugh. Yeah. The Hal Gill story. That's chapter 8. Well, we just talked with Andrew Brunette, the new Preds head coach, and he's coached 3 different teams in the last 3 years. The last 2 have been incredibly successful. 2 years ago, he became the interim head coach of the Florida Panthers very early in the season after Joel Quenneville stepped away because of the Blackhawks scandal at his previous job. And Brunette took over. They won the President's Trophy, but he was not retained as the head coach. Didn't know that till late in the cycle last year, so wasn't really able to interview for head jobs last summer that he certainly would have been qualified and considered for. But he was Lindy Ruff's associate head coach with the Devils, and they had their best offensive season ever.
Yes, they did. And there's a little, I'd have to say, connection there with Tom Fitzgerald that probably led to that hiring. And that was great to see. And then that team, the Devils, has really come on the last year plus as we all watch that develop.
And it's a situation where recently, Hal, everything Andrew Brunette has touched has turned to gold from an offensive hockey perspective.
And now he's with the gold. Turning it to gold. Is that what you're getting at?
Yes. You're a genius.
That's well done. That's well done. Yeah, no, this is, you know, hey, everything, every season, I would say, and his career, certainly every season is a new challenge and a new way of looking at things. And now he's got a new set of players under a new GM. And I it's kind of an unfair question I asked him, but I was curious how it works with Barry Trotz and him. Like, you know, they have to make these decisions and, you know, Barry's seen them a little bit last year. Now, you know, Bruno's looking at them. You know, they have to make some rush judgments. It'll be interesting to see. Like, he talked about Kemmel. You know, he talked about Svechkov. Like, these young guys that are exciting to watch. Like, okay, when's their time? And so I'm interested. I'd love to be in a fly on the wall in that room when they're talking about, all right, what is our timeline on this guy? How long do we want to keep him down? Like, when do you think he's going to be ready? And this all changes. This is all in fluid motion. But I think the big question for these guys is this guy ready for an NHL top six? Do we need to bring in someone else that's going to play bottom six until he's ready and send him back to Milwaukee to play more minutes, learn the game, get more confidence, and then bring them back up? I think that's going to be the challenge this year for all these young guys. And Barry Trotz and Bruno, it sounds like they have a good working relationship, but that's going to be tested. There's no doubt. I think he said it perfectly, right? He said, we agree on a lot of things differently.
Yes.
I think he said that on purpose. Like, you know, they're going to have different sets of eyes looking at the same problem. And they're going to have, you know, they both, I feel like they have the same mindset looking forward, but how do they get there? And that's going to be the challenge for those two working together and the assistant coaches trying to implement a new system. There's a lot going on, a lot of moving parts. It's going to be exciting to see how that all plays out.
Hard to keep that all straight when you think about all the moving parts.
It is. And I think you rely on your veterans to say, hey, we need, this is our structure and this is the way we're going to play. And then the young guys have to, they're going to have 10 good games. They're going to have 10 bad games. And you're going to have to work. You know, the veterans, you can rely on more consistency. With the young guys, you know, this guy's popping. Let's ride his confidence and get him in and play more minutes. and then it's going to change, and then and someone's going to get called up, someone's going to get sent down. All these interchanging parts, it's a lot of juggling.
Max, I love this leather-bound notebook you have, and it looks like you went to medical school.
Max takes notes.
Because I think you've written out any number of prescriptions right here.
Whatever you want, I got it.
Yeah, okay. I guess so. It's just amazing. And you can read it all. That's the.
And there's no one more 50, prepared 50. Than Max. We've seen that.
Yes.
He's on top of his game. He knows a lot, not just about hockey, high school football.
Yep.
He does it all. And so we're in safe hands with Max.
Pete doesn't follow Ace the Smyrna Bulldog on Instagram, though, like Hal does.
I do.
Celebrity follower Ace, Hal Gill of Ace is the Smyrna
beauty.
Bulldog
An
himself.
Absolute beauty.
He is. You would love him, Pete. You love all dogs, but you would especially love Ace. We'll take a break, come back, look at some of the dogs on this Preds roster. 15 forwards, 8 defensemen, 2 goalies still in camp. We'll take a look at who has a chance to make the team, talk about what the roster looks like this season with some young guys coming into their own, some new free agent additions, and more on the Preds season preview show here on the Regions Bank Nashville Predators Radio Network. Welcome back to the Predators season preview show, getting you ready for the hockey season here on 102.5 and 106.3 The Game. My name is Max Herz, along with the voice of the Preds, Pete Weber, Stanley Cup champion, former Preds defenseman Hal Gill. We've got quite an interesting roster to dissect, guys. Some young players who had breakout years last year. The headliners still Philip Forsberg at forward, Roman Josi the captain on defense, Juuse Saros in goal. Couple of veterans in their second year on the Predators on the back end with Ryan McDonough and Tyson Barry. And then the 3 big free agent signees this summer. Stanley Cup champion, Conn Smythe winner, Selke winner Ryan O'Reilly. Veteran Gus Nyquist, also a winger who could play in the top 6. And Hal's buddy, defenseman Luke Shen. It is certainly an interesting mix, Hal, as we get down close to the final roster here before opening night next Tuesday.
Yeah, and each guy, you bring in the new guys, and each guy to me serves a purpose. Like they're like Barry Trotz wasn't just going to get the best player. He was going to get the right player. And I think at times has even said that I want the right players. And that's hard to do in the NHL where it's such a high skill game. You think, okay, get a bunch of skill and throw it out there. But you get a guy like Ryan O'Reilly and, you know, just watching him play initially, and I love it because I talked to guys like 7 years ago. He was too slow. He couldn't keep up with the game, but he thinks the game fast, and so his speed is not an issue because he's reading the game much like Bruno. I feel like he's fast enough to get to where he needs to be, and when he gets there, look how strong he is on his stick and how he battles and competes. Young guys are watching that. Look at the way he, on the power play, his not only the plays he makes, but the retrievals he gets. There was a play, and fans should watch this. He puts it to an area, maybe not the best pass, but he puts it to an area where his teammate is going to get the puck. And that's a skill, and he does it so well. Whether it's he's a battle in the corner, he puts it off the boards to where he's going, or he did it the other night in Tampa where he blocked out a guy and put into an area where Roman Josi was going. And those little skill, that little skill set that maybe doesn't look like a great play, that's what gets you goals, especially on the power play. You go out there, you take a shot on net, you get the puck back, and you get another chance. And that's where, a guy like him, he's there for a specific reason. And Barry Trotz saw that and brought him in for it.
And we also saw in Tampa the other night, just an incredible goal by Tommy Novak. It was so incredible, it didn't even make it up on the board, by the way.
Yeah, no, they weren't showing any replays of the bad guy's goals. Tommy Novak is, again, I think he's going to learn a lot from a guy like O'Reilly, playing that center position, how to battle, how to compete. And Tommy looks strong. And, mm-hmm. and so that's a big plus for me, like that little bit of extra strength. He's getting older, a little more mature, a little more man strength. I think he's pulling out. And speaking of man strength, you talked about Luke Shen. I played with Luke in my last year in Philadelphia, and I wouldn't say he was a young guy then, but he was younger, and now he's the wily veteran. But what he brings in spades is toughness. And You could put him anywhere up and down the right side of that defense corps. You know, playing with Lauzon, they can be a big stud, a steady, hard third pairing. If someone takes a shot at Roman Josi, you put him up on the D pair with Roman Josi for a couple shifts, and I guarantee you guys are going to think twice before they go and hit Roman Josi, because Luke and if, you know, these guys out there might not know it, but he throws lefts and he throws them hard. And he's a big ox and he's tough and he's a great teammate. And I think for that, you know, Barry Trotz brings him in and that's what he offers. And so, you know, managing his minutes, you know, maybe he doesn't play a full role with Roman Josi, but he can if he needs to. And that's what I think is special about bringing him. Tyson Barry is a totally different guy, right?
Yes.
You know, he's that offensive guy. If he goes and plays with Roman Josi, you're looking for more offense. You know, you're relying a little bit more on the fact that if Barry's up in the rush, Roman Josi can be anywhere and he can show up defensively just like he does offensively. And so that's a whole different D pair. And I think that's in today's game, you have to have different options. You're playing against a heavier lineup, maybe you put Shen up there. If you're playing against a softer, quicker lineup, then maybe Tyson Barry's your choice to go. And it goes up and down the lineup where you have different guys that can fill different roles.
So looking back at the forward group now, I think you broke the D down pretty well there.
Did I do all right in the D?
You did amazing.
Yeah.
You're in midseason.
Finishing off the D, I think Lauzon has solidified him. He played really well last year. I think he solidified himself as a hitting, hard-nosed, kill penalties defenseman. You know, Dante Fabbro played great after getting his contract. He really accelerated his game. Carrier, with some injuries, if he can stay healthy, he can grow his game. He can be that guy that's a 3-4 guy. And don't forget, Ryan McDonough was a stud up and down. Like anyone he played with, all of a sudden, magically played fantastic. And,
yep.
And that's what he brings with that leadership. And Roman Josi, I don't need to say anything about him. You all know him.
Those are the seven most likely to get the season started for the Preds on D. They've also
Delgazzo
got
Delgazzo looked good.
Still in case.
He looked good. You know, I don't know where he fits in, but he's looked good. I think he was a little upset. He didn't get the call up last year. He's a little chip on his shoulder, and he's playing with it.
Yeah, and plus five more defensemen already in Milwaukee camp who played for the Predators last season as well. So
Milwaukee should be pretty good.
Yes.
Just from the cuts earlier this week.
Yeah.
Yeah. Scotty Nichols got a team down there.
Yep.
And a lot of growing to do, like a lot of young guys that he can mold and develop, and he's good at it.
Yeah, should be a pretty full roster down there. It could be exciting to watch from afar. So we heard Andrew Brunette identify those two top six pairs that he likes. Ryan O'Reilly first center, Philip Forsberg on his left wing. Most of the time it's been Yusuf Parsonen on their right wing. Then the second line, Cody Glass with Gus Nyquist, a new signee, 2-year deal for Nyquist, former Detroit Red Wing, Columbus Blue Jacket, a couple of other teams in there as well for brief periods for Nyquist. But Glass and Nyquist were identified by Barry Trotz as long ago as July as potentially playing together. And their third, most of the time, has been Denis Gurianov, but there's been a rotation in that spot.
Yeah, I think he's trying to find that right mix. And Gurianov is, I feel like he plays that agitator, like that hard-nosed player, kind of mixes it up and kind of fits in on what would be a checking line. But I think he can make some room for guys like Nyquist and Glass. And talk about Glass and what he did last year. I was really impressed. You know, he's got the size and he's got kind of a sneaky strength. He was really good in and around the net. And I think that if you put him and his skill set, he was always deflecting pucks, finding ways to sneak in around the net, whether it was going off his skating in or some ugly goals you get in that area, but he was finding ways to get it done. And so I think when a player's doing that and they're willing to commit to going to the hard areas, that says a lot about their progression in the game. He's going to create more space for himself. And I think playing with Nyquist, who's got some speed and can attack himself, I think that's a good combination they have. And if you put Gurianov, just if he's on that line, he brings that grit to him. And so I like that line. The other line that he talked about was Novak playing with Evangelista and Tomasino. They were really good. And you know what I love about that line is Sherwood was playing up with those guys a little bit as well. They were always looking for the next pass, and Sherwood is more of a shoot first guy, he's the guy that's going to charge down the wing and either dump it in or shoot it on net. And I feel like when you add Evangelista, Novak, Tomasino, those guys are always looking for the backdoor play. They're one play ahead. And if they can get any chemistry, whichever group of guys that Bruno puts together, if they get that chemistry where they're looking for the next play, they're going to have those backdoor one-timers. They're going to have the backdoor plays. And this day in the NHL, especially if they're playing against 3-4, they're not going to play with the number 1-2 defensive pair. They're going to get 3-4, 5-6. If they can take advantage of lesser defensemen, that gives you three different options that can score goals. And these guys, the way they pass it around, the way they move the puck, it'll be fun to watch them play. And matching up against that for the other teams is going to be a challenge.
There you have it. You mentioned,
that's what you're looking for.
You mentioned the top nine, essentially, there.
I think you need to have some meat on the fourth line.
Right.
And Colton Sissons is, he does everything. Kills penalties. He'll be on the power play when you need him. But he's a guy that you can slot up and play on a wing. I just think he becomes that fourth line. And if it's Sherwood, whoever is playing with him, we'll see how Fagimo goes, where he fits in. With Trennan playing with Sissons, they've had chemistry in the past. So I just think that rounds out your top lines and gives you a top three that can score goals. But you know every coach wants a good forechecking line, and you need that at times in the game where you say, okay, we got to turn this game around, and that's where you got Sissons, Trennan, guys that are going to go out there, play a straight line, Sherwood that's going to put pucks in and work hard like dogs on the forecheck.
It's a full group. It really is a full group right now with options. And as Andrew Brunette said, there are going to be some guys who are unhappy to go down or who stick around and are healthy scratches on opening night.
No one's ever going to be happy. You can't make everyone happy. If you're a coach and everyone's happy, you're not doing your job.
Or you won the cup.
Yeah, exactly. That's exactly right. Yeah, that's I think this is and we just blipped over the guys that are going to be in Milwaukee, but they want a chance too. And I'm hoping, a lot of these young kids think they're just wait my turn. You want to see these guys go to Milwaukee and tear it up.
Yes.
If Kemmel can go down there and tear it up and say, "Look at me, I need to be in that lineup." That's what you're looking for. Because he's going to get that confidence. And I heard someone on the radio that I won't say their name because I don't want to give them credit, but they were upset because why are we focusing on Milwaukee and their run in the playoffs? Well, these guys learned a lot about themselves in the playoffs. They played hard. Nashville should be paying attention to Milwaukee and what they're doing, because the confidence that they get down there is going to translate to confidence here. It's not too far off. The games are very similar, and if you can get a guy that can play big minutes in big clutch situations like you do in the playoffs, it translates to the NHL, and then they come up and have confidence and play. And so I'm looking forward to seeing not just the guys perform here that so-and-so made it. There's going to be more cuts, but the guys that are going to be here opening night, quotes, made it, can they perform? And then the guys that didn't, can they get angry and start tearing it up and force the issue so that they can get playing time in the big club?
All I can say to that is, amen, Brother Hal.
Amen.
Fryer Hal. But close.
Shout out to Providence College.
Hal Gill, Pete Weber,
Fryer
Max
75
Ernst here with you. Fryer 75 in the building. We'll take a break, come back with the second hour of the Predators season preview show. Two more preseason games tomorrow night at home against the Hurricanes, Friday night in Carolina, then the season opener Tuesday late afternoon, 4:30 against the Lightning on national TV, on ESPN, and of course right here on 102.5 The Game. First game of the entire NHL season for the Preds for the second year in a row, part of a national TV triple header to get the hockey season started. You're listening to the Regions Bank Nashville Predators Radio Network. Hockey season is back. Predator season preview show as preseason winds down. Two more preseason games in the next two nights here on 102.5 The Game. Home against the Hurricanes tomorrow. In Carolina on Friday. Opening day Tuesday in Tampa. Then home opener a week from tomorrow, Thursday, October 12th, against the Kraken at Bridgestone Arena. We will go through the entire schedule later on in the show, around 7:30 or so. Willie Donick, the TV voice of the Preds, will join us. Pete Weber, the voice of the Preds, is here. Hal Gill, our radio analyst, is here. My name's Max Herz. So we've broken down the whole roster. We've gone through lines. We've gone through pairs. Talked to the head coach. In a year of a whole lot of new for the Preds, 25th anniversary season, what can we expect after just missing the playoffs last year for the first time, ending an eight-year playoff streak?
Well, I think that's what – and let's first start off with the fact that the Preds missed last year, and that was probably the most excited any fan base has ever been with a missing the playoffs.
Absolutely.
Right? I mean, everyone I talk to is – it stunk that the Preds missed, but how exciting was that watching the young guys come out and play? And so I think there's a lot of the hangover excitement, the lingering excitement from last year, and I think that's great. I think we have to build on that. Smashville should be excited, but I think we have to look at, okay, what is Barry Trotz? What is his goal? How is he going to build this team? I don't think – and this is just my personal thoughts. I don't think Barry Trotz is going out there going, I want to make the playoffs. I want to make the playoffs. I think he's looking at it in two or three years, I want a cup contender. And there's a difference between trying to get a team out there that's going to squeak in the playoffs and anything can happen and a legit cup contender. And I think there's work that needs to be done. I'm not saying it won't happen this year, but I think fans have to – temper their excitement. And you guys tell me if I'm wrong, but, and I probably am, I've been wrong before once when I thought I wasn't right, but this time I'm gonna say if the Preds come out and they're guns blazing and they have all these great players, I don't think we should get too excited, because I think Barry Trotz is going to take that opportunity to say, okay, this guy's playing really well, can we move him to go play, like, do we want to keep him as part of the core group, or do we want to move him to get younger players and build off of that? Can we get increased trade value? You have 4 to 5 players that are playing on the right side on defense, all good players. Do you want to keep them to build on, or do you want to trade one of them to build further down the road? I think there's a lot of guys fighting. We talked about it for top 6 spots. If someone's playing really well, can you move him to down the road, have more cap space and more ability to get a true top 6 that's going to be a cup contender down the road? And I think even if we come out, the Preds come out and they light it on fire, I think we have to temper our enthusiasm and say, okay, Barry Trotz is trying to build for the future still. But that being said, if
the present
clicks,
is right here,
if it all clicks, what's not to like about that? Maybe this is the time and it happens. But I do think we should wait and see. We should be patient. I think the Preds fans learned that. Everyone wanted a rebuild. You're getting the rebuild. Now be patient with it.
And it's nobody ever said a rebuild would be quick. But what we've seen were teams that arrive ahead of schedule.
It's not going to be Detroit. It's not going to be Buffalo. It's not like, let's hope.
Yeah.
It's not going to be Arizona.
No.
Well, Andrew Brunette very clearly and emphatically said in an answer to a press conference question about how he would define what the Preds are going through right now, it is not a rebuild.
No.
And he was 100% immediate and convinced of that. And I think it's obvious by where they are. They're starting whatever they're doing in a very different place than the average NHL team starts it.
Yeah, I don't think a coach or a player can ever put in their head that there's a rebuild going on. That's not in their DNA. That's the GM's job to say, okay, I'm gonna move this guy and hope for a better future. That's where as a player, you need to go out there and play like you're gonna win the cup. That needs to be your goal. As a coach, you need to go out there and coach. Hey, And don't get me wrong, you might look at it, this guy's not going to win a cup early in the season for us, but I'm going to give him the minutes so that he can get the exposure, get the experience, so that down the road he's going to win the cup. You know, you don't just always play your best player right now because you're going to have to let guys go through some learning curves. And like we said, these young guys are going to play up and down. They're going to be sporadic at times, but you want them to go through that. And I think this is a good year to do that. And so I think there's a mind for that as a head coach, but I think you got to coach to win now. And I think that's why you rely on the old guys, like you said. He wants the old guys to push the pace and play like they want to win every game this year. And that's the way you should play. You have to play.
You want pressure coming up from Milwaukee.
Yes.
Guys playing very, very well that press you to make some of those decisions you were talking about, trying to evaluate whether this surplus on defense should be dealt with.
Yeah. Yeah, and like I bring up Kemmel again. If he can go up, light it up, and halfway through the season he has 20 goals and you go, we should get this guy up here. You know, he's lighting it up down there. Let's get him in there. And then you say, okay, what if we move someone else that's having success and open up a spot for him? Because the way it is now, and we haven't talked about it. If you haven't seen it, sounds like the salary cap for next year is going to go through the roof.
Yes.
When's the last time it's going to go up about 5 million? 6
million?
That
is what I've understood. Yes.
So that's a big bump after being a flat cap for so long since COVID. There's going to be some room there. So it's going to be a different game. I think Barry Trotz last year played the salary cap game really well and capitalized on teams that were saying, okay, we need to move some money, and you know, everyone's trying to balance the cap, and now everyone's going to have a big bump in it, and some guys are going to get signed. It opens up a lot of space for you to go out and get new guys. And so I think that plays into the hand of the Preds, where they can make some big moves this year in preparation for next year.
It's also the strategy of a lot of people, a lot of players and teams trying to decide, maybe we don't sign for the big one right now because we could get much more for a little bit more patient.
More room next year.
Yeah.
And the Predators have some of those players, including some guys on one-year prove-its this year.
I like that. I think there should be. I you know, the NHL has always fought each other. The GMs said, you can't sign, no more signing. The NHL came out. No more signing 15-year deals and 10-year deals. And now every GM is still attracted to that 8-year deal. I would get this guy for 7 years, but I want to trade for him so I can get an 8-year deal. And they end up beating themselves up over it. And but I think those 8-year deals, you get guys that are, you know, the 8 for 8. Those years, like, a lot of guys don't want to work for it. If you have a 1-year deal, and I've been there. I never had more than a 3-year deal once, but most of it was 2 years. And I tell you what, you work for it. You have to work for it. And that's the nature of the beast. So I like the fact that you have guys, hey, come prove your worth right here. What are you worth and what are you going to do for it? Are you going to block the shot? Are you going to take the punch? Are you going to go into the corners and fight for pucks? Because you know, next year's contract is going to be reflective of how you play now.
At what stage of your career did you get your 3-year deal?
I got a 3-year deal, I think, in Toronto.
Okay.
Of course, that was right, you know, we had a lockout, so that got slashed and,
yeah,
torn apart.
You were exhibit
with
a
24% rollback, and then, yeah. And then the salary cap. Yeah, that didn't quite work out the way I planned it. But, I think every players, you know, it feels comfortable. Everyone wants to feel comfortable. I signed for an 8-year deal. That's great. But I don't know if comfortable is the right spot. When you're a hockey player, I don't think you get the best out of something when you're comfortable. I think you have to be uncomfortable and challenged and want to work for it. And, you know, everyone says, oh, what a great season this guy had in a career year. Well, you know, a contract year. Like, that's the reason why.
Yeah.
You know, they want the money. What's that movie? Show Me the Money.
Yeah. Yeah. So,
yeah. Jerry Maguire.
Jerry Maguire.
You're too young for that, Mike.
I'm thinking about
Show Me the Money.
Scotty Walker, who had two great contract seasons here.
Yeah. Yeah, and Scotty Walker worked for it.
Yeah.
He was going to take a punch and give a punch and go to the hard areas, and that's what you want to pay guys.
So how you've kind of given us the scenarios here, how you think the team could react based on how things go. What are your pure expectations for this team we start with right now?
I think the biggest thing that I'm looking for, and I'm not talking about wins and losses. I'm hoping that Bruno is saying, let's build that culture. Let's build that we want to play a fast game. And that might not show up on the wins and losses because we talked about it. A fast game is only fast if you're executing. And so I think you have to have healthy expectations where you say, you know, it's not clicking. We can't just throw it out and be like, okay, now we're a dump and chase team. You know, you want to play fast. You have to be willing to take the hits when, you know, mistakes happen. But I think if they stick with it, we're in for an exciting brand of hockey. And that's what I'm most excited. We saw it last year a little bit where these young guys made mistakes, but they competed and they played hard and they battled and came back into games and stuck around. And I think we're going to see an exciting game. It's not going to be perfect. That would be my expectation. But I'm excited to see that speed and, you know, the power play. You know, I said they were dangerous when they were playing in Tampa the last game. It was a lot of quick puck movement, attack the net, regain possession, attack again, regain possession, move the puck quick, make the plays, make it aggressive, make it dangerous, and that attack mode. And I think we're going to see a lot of that, which I think win or lose early on, it's going to be fun to watch. And I think as that builds and you get more trust, like Bruno said, trust in the defensive zone, trust on the ice and how these guys play. I think that's going to blossom into eventually championship hockey where they're going to be able to compete, but you got to build that culture and that excitement around what you're doing and the belief, the buy-in.
I like that plan.
Is that a good plan?
Yeah. Would you go with that? Laid it out right there. I'd follow that plan anywhere. With the voice of the Preds, P. Weber, as well. I'm Max Herz. Willie Donick from 102.5 The Game and Predators TV will join us coming up next to give us his point of view on training camp so far and just give us one more talking head in this room on the Predators season preview show opening night next Tuesday in Tampa. Thursday coming up, the home opener a week from tomorrow against the Kraken. This is the Regions Bank Nashville Predators Radio Network. Welcome back to the Predators season preview show here on 102.5 and 106.3 The Game. Max Herz, Pete Weber, Hal Gill from Preds Radio, and sadly we have to share Hal with Preds TV, but we all know radio is better. And here to settle the debate is a man who does both radio and television, TV play-by-play voice of the Predators, radio host here on 102.5 The Game. Willie Donick is with us. Willie, oh yes.
Oh, there it is.
His theme music is here. Willie Dynamite is in the building. Willie, welcome.
Oh, yes. I love that song. Thank you for having me, Max. And I'll give you a quote from the great Tim Brando that Pete will appreciate. He said, when you learn play-by-play and you learn by being on the radio and then you go to TV, it's like learning how to drive on a stick shift. It's much easier to go one way, because if you learn the other way, it's not easy to go back.
No, it's not.
Oh, Willie, you go both ways.
That's right. Got to be versatile, pal.
I like it. I'm trying.
All right, Willie, we've talked about the Preds. You've heard everything we've said. Give us your lowdown headed into the season on the team at large.
Well, like you guys, I think I'm open-minded. I think it can go a lot of different directions. I think the goal very clearly is to set the stage for a lot of these young players to find their way, get an opportunity to see what they can be. Like, is Tommy Novak a guy that could be a top six center, or, you know, on a winning team, not just a top six center on a team, but a top six center on a winning team. Same thing with Cody Glass and Juuso Parsonen, guys like that. We think that there's something there among the group. They're not all going to become superstars, but can a group of them emerge with that other layer that you guys have referenced too, the Kimmels and the group that they just sent to Milwaukee, do you build a nucleus over the next 2 or 3 years? And then you sprinkle in the right veterans around them and you give them an opportunity to grow and develop. And at the same time, you might be competitive. And Max, the question that you're throwing out there, I've been curious. I've been looking around. This week you start to see a lot of the analytic previews. You see a lot of the pundits making their previews. You don't see a lot of people putting the Predators in the playoffs. I would say the probability tends to be, when I look, around 35%. Hal always laughs when I get numbers like that. But like, they're giving them a shot because the division does look a little bit wide open, especially for that number three spot.
Yeah, anytime you throw a percentage, I just think, you know, that's just a safety. You know, is it? You know, the meteorologist that says, "Oh, it's 1% chance of rain." I just want to cover my backside. But Willie, I agree with you. But you know, we talked about, like, you got to put it all together, and that, I think that's the challenge. And you talked about these young guys meshing and learning a new system. A lot going on. But do you want to kick it around and look at what their competition is? Because, you know, you look around, it's all basically coming down to, you know, everyone's talking about Connor Bedard in Chicago. Is that going to be a competitor? Obviously, we know Colorado. We know Dallas. They're always going to be there. Minnesota, it's not an easy ride to get to the playoffs. So what are your percentages and what are all your stats say about all that?
You know, that's the thing. I think you're trying to, in a perfect world, you know, if everything goes right and you say to yourself, look, we got Roman Josi, you've got UC Saros, and if some of these guys pop, you might be able to scratch out a playoff spot on a team that is only going to get better. There's nothing wrong with that. So a lot of the people, when you put together these percentages, a lot of the analysts have the Predators right around 90 points, so give or take a couple, right? And you think about it, if you're down in the 88s, you probably don't make it. If you win a couple extra games and you get to 94, you might well finish third in a division that, as you mentioned, Hal, you've got Dallas, who seems to be a sexy pick for a Stanley Cup winner, right? That surprises me a little bit, but not too much. I think with Ottinger developing as a big-time goalie, you can see them having the tools to go deep. And then there's always Colorado, of course, and they're trying to figure out, you know, how to put those complementary pieces around their superstars, and that's proving to be pretty tough, right? They found out the hard way last year. It's not always easy when you have some superstars taking up a huge percentage of your cap. And then you look at Winnipeg, St. Louis, teams in Minnesota, who's losing $14 million off the top because of their salary cap buyouts of Zach Parise and Ryan Suter. And a lot of people are looking around and saying, okay, 3, 4, 5 in the Central. What do you think? I mean, those teams, Nashville, St. Louis, Minnesota, maybe throw Winnipeg in there. Not too much difference between all of them. If things fell right, could you get third in the best case scenario? I think that's possible. But as you guys mentioned, it's probably going to take a little bit of time in the season for the Predators' chemistry to build, for Andrew Burnett to get the system, the connectivity he's talking about with you guys, and figuring out what role definition is right. That might set the Predators back early, but there's a lot of – every team's got question marks.
And I was thinking that Winnipeg was going to have a lot more moves done by this point. I'm surprised Hellebuck is still there, for example.
That's a great point. I would say, if you read a lot about or listen to what people are saying about Winnipeg, it reminds me a little bit of Nashville last year, in that they know that there's pressure to win, and I don't know that they have the ceiling to win big. Because, as you mentioned, Pete, Hellebuck's in the last year of his contract. Mark Scheifele is a guy that,
yes,
in a perfect world, maybe they would move. They did trade Pierre-Luc Dubois. They've got Nino Niederreiter in the last year of his contract. And so what's the ceiling? And then what do they do after this year? And so their season could go a number of different ways. Remember how outspoken Rick Bonus was about the team when they exited the playoffs last year.
And didn't hold
everybody
back,
thought he might get fired. He's got 2 years left on his contract. So that
sounded like
he
wanted to get fired.
Yeah, he's going to be on a hot seat if they don't do very well. So I'm intrigued about the Dubois trade and what they got from L.A. And so you could see that team going in a number of different directions.
Willie, how excited – I mentioned Bedard. How excited are we to watch him? I'm sure you've seen the clips of him. He's not disappointing so far. Some highlight reels that I've seen, passing and just plays that he's making. What do you think? What is that going to be like? I know Chicago is going to be traveling. They're going to be following that.
They start out with five road games.
They're excited to see him play. What are your thoughts on that mix and how that's going to be going? Of course, I hated to see that Corey Perry scored a goal the other day.
Yeah.
No one likes to see that. But Connor Bedard, what are your thoughts on Chicago?
It's going to be something that I think I'm looking forward to, the Predators-Blackhawks rivalry over the next 10 years with him in this equation. I love, you read the coverage on The Athletic. Listen to Elliot Friedman's podcast. You bounce around. Everybody's talking about Bedard and what they think he might be able to do in his first year. Now, most people believe that it's not going to equate to winning. Pete, I can remember when Sidney Crosby and how you were playing in the league at the time. It took a year or two before they really started to get good with Crosby. And so that happens. I remember, you guys remember Pete what was here, Connor McDavid's, third game in the league was in Nashville, I think?
Yes.
And
he didn't get a shot on goal.
Yeah, it takes a while for these guys to have the players around them to succeed. But in the meantime, I'm as fascinated as anybody else just as a fan of the game to see what this guy can do, because we've been hearing about this guy for 3 years, since he was about 14 years old.
And the other big one in the Central is Johansson meshing going into Colorado.
Yeah.
Guy we all know and love. What do you think of, they're missing Landeskog, and there's a lot of unknowns about that team, but still a force to be reckoned with. And how do you think Johansson's going to fit in there?
I think that's a big question, Mark. And it will be whether you want it to be or not. Right, I think Predators fans, just out of curiosity, are going to be watching very closely to what Johansson does for the Avalanche, and of course what Duchesne does for the Stars, because you can use whatever vocabulary or terminology you want, but the bottom line is Barry Trotz felt like they would be better off without those two guys long term at the money they were making, right? Even though they would have to spend some money to do it and not get anything in return. So that was a tough thing to do. It was a big decision. They made it. And those guys end up in the same division. That's a great storyline to me. But how you remember this last year, the Avalanche, they were top heavy, right? They got beat by the Kraken, a deep team in the playoffs, because their weapons could not put them over the top. So they're looking for that secondary guy, like Johansson, to sort of fill that gap and give him a little scoring. Same kind of thing with Dallas. Matt Duchesne's not going to have to carry the team on the first line. He can be a secondary sneaky guy. Those guys might have a much better chance to succeed in those roles than what they were going to be asked to do for the Predators, especially making $8 million a year and taking up that kind of a cap space, as opposed to the cap space they're taking up for their new teams.
And how bitter it was saying that these guys go and tear it up. Duchesne lights it up early in the season. Johansson does it. How does Smashville handle that? Are we bitter? Are we upset about it? Are we happy that
they've
gone on?
Tell me how to feel, Willie. Tell me how to feel.
Saying that's going to happen. I do not think that's going to happen. But are we happy for these guys if they do well?
From a personal standpoint, I think we all enjoy those guys, and we want them to do well in life, right? Matt Duchesne said he wants to move. Well, I don't think he's moving his family, right? He wants to settle in Nashville. He's going to be a great asset to our city. But, that's different than, wanting to do well against your team in the division.
You're nice. But you're nicer than I am. I think I'd be pretty bitter if these guys light it up.
Hal, your question is a good one, all right? So I would just ask all the Predator fans to have your answer now. Right.
Yeah.
And write it down. Lock it up.
Would you
put it in a time capsule?
Would you rather have them back if you could wave the magic wand and say it now? Right. And stick with your answer. in the middle of the season and at the end of the season, regardless of how they're doing. Because what happens a lot is people like that start doing well, and everybody says, well, why did they do that? Well, they didn't get anything for them. They're paying them not to play for the other team now. You know, there's always that group out there.
I think that people should have to send a tweet in. Maybe you do this tomorrow on your show. Send your tweets in now so they're all registered.
How do you feel?
And you can't use my trick where you send five different tweets with five different responses and then pick one that you want later on. That'd be interesting feedback because I think that's going to be a great storyline with the Central Division the way it is and the battle it's going to be. I think that's going to be so fun to watch.
Yes, and no, they're two teams, the Avalanche and the Stars, are clearly among the top. Everybody's got those two, 1-2, 2-1, right, and one at the top of the Central in the prediction.
Should be fun to watch. Willie Donick will be on the call on Bally Sports Tennessee. Thanks for doing this, Willie.
Can't wait to get going with you, buddy.
All right. Good to talk to you.
Willie,
guys.
Thank you.
Well done. I've been listening. Yep.
Good and stuff. Watching baseball, too, I gather.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. You know me.
Yep.
Well, with one more Oh My Laundry, Willie is off into the distance.
Oh My Laundry. He did really well on the Immaculate Grid to baseball today.
I'm sure he always does.
He's a smart man.
He puts Hal Gill in the hockey grid sometimes, too, though, which is a truly, truly smart move. And Willie will be with us for the second period of the game tomorrow night, preseason.
Yep.
He and Chris Mason will be on the radio call. So we will be crossing broadcasts.
To get a period worth of reps before the season opens up.
Get him out there. Get him out there.
And Pete Weber will be in the Lexus Lounge.
Knock off the rust.
Getting fanned with a very large leaf by Hal Gill.
It will be.
In the second period.
It will be a maple leaf, though.
Oh, it might be.
I dropped that off. I lost that leaf. I lost that one.
You turned over a new leaf?
I turned over a new leaf. Max.
Predators season preview. Hey, we're just getting started. We'll come back. We'll look at the Preds schedule, which starts less than a week from now. Tuesday night is opening night down in Tampa here on the Regions Bank Nashville Predators Radio Network. The boys are back on the ice here in Smashville. Predators season preview show here on 102.5 and 106.3 The Game. Max Herz, Pete Weber, Hal Gill with you. Less than a week until the regular season starts Tuesday against the Lightning. Home opener a week from tomorrow against the Kraken. And guys, it is time to look at the schedule. As usual, it is 82 games.
Once again, yes.
But unlike last year, we get 41 true home games, none in Europe this year.
Yes.
41 true road games. And we'll take a look at it month by month. And looking at October, mention those first two games. Homecoming game for Hal Gill in game number 3, first Saturday night against the Bruins. Then home games on Tuesday, October 17th against the Oilers. Two Saturday nights in Smashville in October, October 21st against the Sharks. October 28th against the Leafs. Some very challenging teams that went deep in the playoffs or had great regular seasons last year at the start. But interestingly, guys, the first 12 games are all out of division.
Yeah.
Until November 9th at Winnipeg. No division games the first month of the season for the Preds.
Yeah, I think that's a, you know, the first thing I look, well, first of all, let's be honest. I look at the, where are my road trips? Where am I going? Where can I check my bag the best and scope out the whole map of bag chucking? But then I look at, okay, you got a young team. How great is this schedule set up for a young team? You start off, you know, you're on the road. You come back and you're at home. You're on the road. You're home. You're on the road. You're home. You got three games at home: San Jose, Vancouver, Toronto. You know, then you got this big road trip. So you have a little build at the end of October. You're going to Vancouver, Seattle, Edmonton, Calgary, Winnipeg, and what a great time to get away. You know, you've got your feet wet. You try to figure out. You have eight games to kind of sort out. Okay, what are we as a team? Where are we? What are we doing? You know, you get into a rhythm, and it's a pretty good play every other day kind of rhythm. And then you hit that road trip. You know, You get that rookie dinner. You get the team bonding. You get to be on the road away from everything, no distractions. You find out really what your team is all about. And I think this schedule plays well for that, for a young team, for new guys coming in, where there's a good balance between I'm home and I can play my game and be with my family and be around friends. And then, okay, we got our feet wet. Let's get on the road.
And then after that, 9 out of 10 at home surrounding Thanksgiving.
Once you get back from that road trip, now it's back to work. A lot of this depends on how the team goes.
Yes.
Sometimes being home is great. If you go on a heater and you put some wins together, that's at the end of November. You better find out what your team is all about. You're going to know a lot. Hey, is this – where do we line up against the NHL? Are we a legit team, or are we struggling? Are we going to have some battles this year? So that could be a great time if they do play well. They have a good road trip. You come home and you get that, you know, you get the Smashville fans behind you and you start to put it together. A quick trip to St. Louis in the middle of all that.
Black Friday.
On Black Friday. But that's you know, another good reason why if things go well, you get a homestand and now you're going into December looking at your team going, hey, we got a team here and we're building on something.
And I'm looking at, we are beginning to put a lot more afternoon games in on the schedule. And that first trip by Connor Bedard and company is a Saturday afternoon at 1 o'clock here on the 18th of November. So that will be something to make sure you pay attention to that printed schedule, so you don't show up at 7 o'clock for a 1 o'clock game.
Everyone's paying attention, Pete.
I've seen some people pull up kind of late.
Pete will dock you points.
Yes.
If you are late to the game.
But yeah, that's going to be a big one. That's going to be exciting. I think Willie hit the nail on the head. Like, they're building. Preds are building. This should be fun. You know, right now Colorado is big and Dallas is big, but look for the future being somewhere around Chicago and Nashville. I think that could be a lot of fun.
Well, it's the same dilemma you brought up with Matt Duchene and Ryan Johansson in the division.
Yeah.
Obviously, it's good for hockey if Connor Bedard does well.
Not so
but
great.
But, man, he's not going to have any fans around here since he somehow got to the Blackhawks.
No. No. He ends up in the Blackhawks, and everyone's going to hate him. But, you know, I don't want to lose to anyone. But it's fun watching these guys. You know, you circle the games when you get to watch McKinnon. It's a lot of fun to watch him. McDavid,
sure,
Crosby, Ovechkin, you know, all these elite players, and there's a lot more coming. Just saw Jack Hughes snipe another one. I want to watch him play. These guys are good. And so you want to watch the best play. And sorry, I want to watch Chicago play. I want to watch Connor Bedard play and see what he's got.
They will be here on Saturday, November 18th, and the other visit from the Hawks, first game of 2024 on Tuesday, January 2nd. Also in December, home games against the Rangers, Lightning, Capitals, Stars, Flyers, Canucks, and Hurricanes. We are home both before and after Christmas. Saturday, December 23rd, another Saturday afternoon game at 2 o'clock. That will be the first visit from Matt Duchene back as an opposing player, as a member of the Dallas Stars. And we neglected to mention as well in November, Monday of Thanksgiving week, Monday, November 20th, will be Ryan Johansson's return with the Avs. And before all of that, in just the second home game of the year, Mattias Ekholm will return with the Oilers just 2 weeks from now.
Yes, that'll be a night where there's a little bit of a gathering before the game for some original Predator staffers. So that should be some fun. Some memories will be coming back for that.
This season there will also be a captain's night where every captain of Preds history will be here. So a lot of fun stuff for the Predators' 25th anniversary and 25th season. The miracle of hockey. It's the 25th anniversary and the 25th season for the Preds this year. So we'll keep going through this schedule. Get into January where things start to get a little bit busier and have some more travel for the Preds. First two games of the new year are home against the Blackhawks and the Flames. Two quick trips to Dallas in short succession. Then a couple of trips out west in what will be a pretty busy travel month in January.
As it normally is. I mean, leading up to Super Bowl. But a trip that hits Vegas, Los Angeles, and Arizona altogether. Then come home and face this, still I think in a bit of flux, Florida Panthers team to see who will have returned by that point in time.
And you know that'll be a money on the board game for Preds coach Andrew Brunette, yes, as well, every time the Panthers are in the house. All-Star Game is in Toronto the first weekend of February. Predators have their bye week attached to that. Then in February, a three-game homestand out of the break, February 10th, a Saturday night against the Coyotes, then the Devils on Tuesday, February 13th, Stars in a nationally televised game on Thursday, February 15th, then a road trip after that, Blues, Golden Knights, Kings, Sharks, and Ducks, and two more home games to finish up February against the Sens and the Wild. And then in March, not as heavy of a load in March as usual. Only one back-to-back the entire month. And six home games against the Avs, Habs, Sabres, Sharks, Wings, and Golden Knights.
So look at those Saturday starts again. A 4 o'clock game here against Detroit. And then in the early evening against Colorado on the 5th, or the 2nd, rather, of the month.
Pete, we'll keep you on your toes. We got a 4, we got a 5.
I don't think we're setting any records for back-to-backs.
No.
It looks like manageable numbers. 1, 2.
9 back-to-backs.
9 back-to-backs.
But
we had 12, did we not?
Yeah, and one year we had 19.
that's tough. And I will tell you, as a player, can you play back-to-back? Sure. But, you know, it takes two or three days to recover from those. Usually you play a game and you can recover after that. If you play two games, it takes 2 or 3 days. And for me, I think it's a challenge to play back-to-back. So a lighter load on back-to-backs is a lot easier. And I think that the depth of the Preds is going to be challenged when you get those back-to-back situations. So, lighter load is good.
9 back-to-backs. Unfortunately for the Preds, they do all include travel. Only 4 of the 18 games in those back-to-backs are at home. So there will not be back-to-back home games on back-to-back days at any point this season.
And I'm still, I put it out there to Bettman and Bill Daly. I'd love to see the Preds move to the East, because that makes that travel a lot easier. If you're playing a back-to-back and when you're banging from the East Coast, you're going Toronto, Montreal. That's an easy back-to-back.
Yeah.
You can do that one. You go Philadelphia to New Jersey, that's a heck of a lot easier than playing a back-to-back where you're going from Vancouver to Arizona,
Calgary, yeah,
whatever, Calgary. There's some travel in there, and that's not as easy.
The all-time worst was going from Detroit to Denver.
Yeah.
That the Predators have experienced.
I remember doing that, too. Yeah.
And are you still tired from that?
I said, this shouldn't.
Pretty much.
This shouldn't happen.
I'm still trying to recover. Still trying to recover.
That's when it's handy to be on the plane.
Yes.
Right?
Very handy.
If the media gets kicked off, if the broadcast gets kicked off the plane, we're in trouble.
Yep.
Turning around a quick back-to-back.
That message brought to you by Bag Chucker Lifestyle Company and spokesman Hal Gill.
Not easy.
So one more month we haven't gone over yet. It's not easy being Chuck Bagger. So April, the final month of the season, Predators will host Hal's hometown Bruins and the Blues to get it started. That's the only time the Blues will be here all year on Thursday, April 4th. They're two division teams. You only play 3 times. So Blues are only here once. Predators only go to Denver once. Everybody else in the division is 2 home games, 2 road games. At Islanders, at Devils in a back-to-back that first weekend of April. Then the final 4 games, Winnipeg at home, at Chicago, home against Columbus in the final home game on Saturday, April 13th. And then the final regular season game, Monday night, April 15th in Pittsburgh. Predators only visit there, where after being the first team to start the season, they will be by far the first team to end the regular season as well. There are still 3 more days of regular season games after the Preds' last game on April 15th.
Will there be a triple header on ESPN on the 15th?
You're going to have to call up the ladder on that one.
Yeah.
So I have a question. We got one more shift. Next year will be the official shift back to a regular schedule, right? Move the season back up after COVID and the debacle with the schedule. I think this is 1 week off still, right?
Right.
So the plan is to reset next year so games would start. We'd be starting right now, right?
Yes.
We'd be looking at October 3rd or 4th, we'd be starting, right?
Mm-hmm.
And so we're almost there.
Because, the funny
thing, it's taken a while to get back.
It was late last week. It was the 2nd anniversary of when the cup was awarded in the bubble.
That's right. I mean, that was that, and these guys, these players have gone through a lot. Don't forget, you know, through that COVID time, a lot of these guys were experiencing the NHL, if that you can even say that, without being able to leave their room. Yeah. Hey, congrats, you made the NHL. Now stay in your room. It was a hard time.
Come on down
these
and get your nose swabbed as a result.
I think the veterans, I'm sure, appreciate a normal schedule. I've talked to Ryan McDonough about it, what he went through for 2 years going through winning cups. It's great winning cups, but being away from your family and being locked down in a hotel and going that late into the summer, and it's just craziness. So I think now you get a normal schedule, a normal feel for the game. I'm expecting a little more flow to the games, a little more consistency in the games, and letting these rookies figure out what the whole NHL is all about.
Predators opening night is next Tuesday evening at 4:30 Nashville time in Tampa against the Lightning. You can hear it right here. Watch it on ESPN. Pre-game coverage here on the flagship station, 102.5 The Game, will begin at a prompt 3:30 on a Tuesday for the first game of the whole NHL year. Then opening night at home a week from tomorrow, Thursday, October 12th, against
Rise
the
up,
Seattle
Smash
Kraken.
Rise up.
Yes.
Hal Gill will be there, and so will you, we hope. One more segment on the Predators season preview show. We'll wrap it up and get you ready to drop the puck here on 102.5 and 106.3 The Game. Welcome back to the Predators season preview show. Pete Weber welcomes you back to the Delta House.
Excuse me, I have to go through the line here at the buffet.
A classic.
See if you can guess what I am now.
Always on point, Pete.
Yes.
Ugh, a true classic. As you are too, Pete Weber, the voice of the Preds is here. Hal Gill is here. My name's Max Herz, your Preds radio crew with Jay Moore. Calling home games again with Pete Weber, original Predator here in year 25. It will be fun, Pete, to have you leading us through so many memories of the original Predators this year.
Going to be a lot of fun doing that. And so many of them come back. And I'm going to get Jay to talk a little bit tomorrow night about teammate Andrew Brunette.
Jay's got the inside track now.
Yes, he does.
He's got all the inside information. Hal, you never played with Andrew Brunette, did you? He was a Western Conference guy bouncing around.
Played against him.
Yeah.
But, yeah, he's I'm excited about this, getting all these guys back, getting the alumni back and seeing all these guys. We're growing as alumni. A lot of guys moving back.
Yes.
Into Nashville. And so
Why
wouldn't they? It's the best place to be. But it's going to be cool to have these guys relive, because there is a history now, you know.
Right.
We're not an expansion team anymore. We're here, and you know, it's kind of cool that this is the 25th year, and I've gone through this with different teams in different years. In Montreal, we had the centennial year, which was bizarre in Montreal, 100 years. You know, but it means something, and it means that 25 years is a big marking point for your franchise, and a lot of people have been doing it. Barry Trotz has been here forever, and David Poile. Just these guys have put their heart and soul into this program, and now it's built up, and here we are. So let's hope it's a big one, and hope it's a great year and a lot of fun. I know it's going to be fun. Let's hope it's even more fun than we expected, especially with everyone coming back.
What's old is new, and what's new is old here in year 25. The man who scored the first goal is the fourth ever head coach of the team, Andrew Brunette, taking over this year. And for the first time ever, the Preds have a new GM after David Poile retired. And it's the first coach, the mainstay, Barry Trotz.
Unbelievable, isn't it? Good thing they didn't make the first broadcaster the general manager.
I would have supported that. You and Crispy, co-GMs?
There's a scary concept.
Is yelling? I don't think coaches are allowed to yell anymore. The game's changed.
My buddy in Philly, I think, probably still does.
Yeah, that's a good point.
He's Hal's buddy, too.
There's some yellers. There's some yellers. As long as I sit down, Tortorella will be happy.
That was a great story that you told last year about you being too tall for the short coach.
Tortorella said, you'll never play for me in the World Championships. You'll never play for me because you never sit down and you're too tall and I can't see over you. So.
Pete and I both have the same problem with you, both at games and on planes.
Got to stretch. I'm a tall drink of water. I got to stretch it out. You
That's
know?
Right.
Pete and I stretch out as far as we can, but
and I can't do too much. I mean, I'm going to be 6'0" all the way through, unless I need to have one of those disc
Max,
surgeries that cuts out a disc.
Don't say that, Pete. Max, you know what? You're a lucky kid. You can take a nap anywhere. You know, they just lay down in the palm of my hand.
Pete and I share those same genetics.
Spread out. You know, you're just a little guy.
Yep, we can sleep anywhere.
Throw your mattress in the ashtray and take a little snooze.
Throw your mattress in the ashtray. That's an inviting phrase right there.
I gotta smell it from here. I think I'd need 10 showers the next morning. Well, while we're on the topic, Pete, of sleep and travel, I know many folks out there in Smashville want to know how you're doing physically now, what, 9 months after your literal brain surgery?
What is it? Yeah, it was January 9th. So we're coming right up on that anniversary, one I don't necessarily want to celebrate. But the fact that things worked out so well since, I probably should. So if you see some flares going off that night next week, say in Tampa, maybe I'll just set off some flares.
Well, let's go back to that, because how long was it before you were calling games again?
5 days.
Five days.
Brain surgery? Brain open on a Monday, back on the radio on a Saturday.
What a legend.
But the schedule... I could have done it earlier, my doctor said, but the schedule didn't allow for that.
We should have put in another game for you, Pete.
Yeah.
It's got to be some kind of record. It is impressive, and it's great to have you back for another year and healthy.
Yes. It's great to be healthy, let me tell you.
Anything else just interesting coming out of the brain over the summer that you weren't expecting? You said they jumbled stuff around in
there. This is going to go.
That's
to
a leading question.
It's already gone. It's already fallen off the rails.
I mean, we've already had a Blazing Saddles reference, and actually a Slapshot reference too, about the Whalers having moved.
And Animal House.
Animal House.
And so everything that needs to be in there.
Listen,
is still
we have 82 games of the 25th anniversary of the Nashville Predators, and so I guarantee you, Pete Weber is going to pull out all the stops. And remember as many stories as possible, and they're all going to come across the airways. So stay tuned this season, because
some will be edited, though.
They better be edited, you know.
I say they better not be. For
it's a cancel culture. We don't need that, Pete. You got to get the editor out. But this is going to be a fun season, recapping 25 years of your service and your hard work and your dedication. But also that of all the players, coaches, management, and all the stories that you can tell about them as well.
Well, we're going to be thinking about so many of them. And one of the funniest stories ever in that first year was a game in San Jose where Bill Holder was playing for the Sharks then, before he came here. And he was standing in the offensive zone awaiting a faceoff. But all of a sudden, he just lost his balance and fell flat on his face at the top arc of the faceoff circle. And Crispy goes, I guess a sniper got him.
Many great memories to come here on Preds Radio this season. Hey, plans the same for us. We'll be on the air an hour before every game with your pregame coverage. You're on 102.5 The Game, also on 106.3 FM if you're coming from Williamson County or also from Murfreesboro direction. Pete Weber and Jay Moore will be in the booth for all of the home games. Pete Weber and Hal Gill will be in the booth for all of the road games here on radio. Looking forward to it. Opening night next Tuesday for Pete Weber and Hal Gill. I'm Max Herz. Coming up next, Penalty Box Radio is back this year with Alex Doherty and Sean Smith taking over PBR. Shout out to our producers, Connor Newton, Junie Riddle. Thanks to Andrew Brunette for joining us.
We going We're with ready. Careless Whisper on the way out?
A Hal Gill request, perhaps, as we slip into the night.
Wham.
Happy hockey season, Wham. Everybody.
Cheers.